Public sector unions have tabled their wage demands. They did this yesterday at the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council. And I don't know whether the unions themselves or government or people at the council have leaked, but just about every news medium today is reporting that they have seen these proposals. And the unions want an across-the-board increase equivalent to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, plus 4%. Plus 4%. And they also want more housing allowances. They want the three entry-level brackets to be scrapped so that if you work for the public service, your minimum salary is related to the minimum salary with grade four. And they want all sorts of other things that would bump up the public wage bill, which is at the moment taking nearly 50% of every state, every cent that the state earns, nearly 50% of that pays public servants. And another more than 20 cents pays debt, which leaves roughly 25 cents out of every rand to spend on keeping the company going. Government, as we know from Tito Mboweni's budget, says that they are offering essentially below cost of living increases, below CPI increases for the next 3 years. Perhaps interesting, Cyril Ramaphosa was asked by a journalist at his engagement with the National Editors Forum last Friday, what about the public service wage demands? And he said, well, I can't give you an answer to that because the negotiations haven't opened yet and we don't know where they're going to end. Don't you back your finance minister? Don't you back your finance minister's budget, which was announced a couple of days before that? Kaya Sitole is a political and economics analyst. Kaya, good afternoon. Can this end in anything other than tears and strikes?
Good afternoon to the listeners. Look, I think perhaps what we've missed is that the conversation today isn't really about the future. The conversation today is about a matter that's actually pending at the Constitutional Court. So what we know is that the previous wage, a multi-year wage agreement that was tabled back in the days when I think Minister Ayanda Dodo was in charge of the public service has been rejected by Tito. So at the beginning of April last year, he then refused to actually give the increases that were due in terms of that old agreement. There's been a dispute that's gone to the Labour Court where, surprisingly for most people, the government actually won. So that matter has now been escalated to the Constitutional Court. And at the heart of this has been National Treasury's argument to say, well, there may be a multi-year wage bill, but our duty extends beyond just the civil service. Our duty is to say tomorrow when we pay that additional 1 rand, are we balancing the competing needs of all constitutional structures, of all members of society? And the answer that Tito has given is that no. If I pay this additional amount to the civil service, I'll be violating my duty to look after the entire country at large. So that is the argument that prevailed at the Labour Court and has now been escalated to the Constitutional Court. So the labour unions are simply then saying, well, never mind what has happened with this one. We are going to hit you hard on the next agreement, which is why they've gone for this ambitious idea of CPI plus 4%.
Look, I know that negotiating tactics, you know, the unions are saying, look, let's go for CPI plus 4% and we'll accept CPI plus 1.5%. And yeah, we think if we threaten to strike with enough commitment, with enough conviction, then government will be frightened and they will say, oh, okay, we'll give it to you. We'll find the money somehow. But, you know, Tito Mboweni wants to hold the line, but will the cabinet allow him to hold the line?
Well, Tito Mboweni wanted to hold the line on SAA. He wanted to hold the line on all other state-owned enterprises. And as he told us on Twitter, in not so many words, he had to swallow a rock and be bound by the cabinet directive and the cabinet decision. The problem with the cabinet is that it's going to be made up of individuals who somewhere around May, June, July are going to have access to data from polling agencies that tell them that in this particular metro, these are your prospects. In that particular metro, these are your prospects. And that will come at the same time with the union saying that, well, if you don't give us what you ask for, and particularly if they lose in the Constitutional Court, the argument will be, if you do not give us what we've asked for, then our members will not be going all out to support the ANC in its electoral campaign. The unions will say that our members, either at SATU or COSATU, will not be supporting the ANC. In fact, what some of us may have missed is that they've already made the first step towards saying that. I think it was the COSATU Secretary General last week, who then pulled this threat that always is within the arsenal of society to say, well, we may not support the ANC going forward. So by the time we get to June, July, it will not really matter what Dieter feels and what Dieter thinks, because it will now be a question of, well, Dieter, here's the threat of electoral losses, here's the data, and here's a statement from COSATU, here's a statement from that union. Do you really think we can afford to take the gamble of not giving the civil servants what they want? And he will, unfortunately, have to fall.
And where will that money come from? And we'll have a situation where the public sector unions, because they have voting power and because they have striking power, will get an increase in excess of inflation, and social grant recipients who have no striking power and are not considered an important voting bloc will have to contend with a real time decrease in the already pitiful social grant that they get.
Yeah, there's a wonderful article actually that's been published today, written by Michael Sachs, who probably more than any other person in this entire country knows more about the state of public finances and how they ought to be managed. And he is arguing that actually even last week's budget may be in violation of the Constitution. Because if you remember, John, the Constitution does have a graduated or at least a hierarchy of rights. So what we refer to as first-generation rights relating to education and healthcare, for example, there is no qualifier that says that the government must make it progressively accessible. It simply says that the government must make it accessible. The difference between that and higher education, for example, is that there is then a qualifier when we talk about higher education. I learned this the hard way during FISMAS 4, in that it says the government may make it progressively accessible. So there is no explicit requirement for them to make sure that that particular right is realized immediately. So what Michael Sachs is arguing is that if we're now looking at first-generation rights and we compare what we used to be the per capita spent 2 or 3 years ago, so if there's 10 children in a classroom, how much money is being allocated to that? If there is a lower allocation today than there was a couple of years ago, it's actually going in the opposite direction. It is not leading to a progressive realization of these social economic rights. And he's saying that there's a constitutional question to be asked there.
And Tito Mboweni in his budget speech acknowledged that the amount of money he'd allocated to teachers and to education generally would probably lead to negative consequences.
Yeah, and I think at some point in time, it doesn't matter what the conversations are and what the debates are, the answer must be, is there money in the bank account? And for as long as the answer is there is no money in the bank account, somebody has to take the fall. And I think, as you rightly said, perhaps the bargaining power of school kids in classrooms, perhaps the bargaining power of even pensioners is not as strong as the bargaining power of the unions, teachers, policemen and nurses, for example. So it is unfortunate reality that the government has to respond to where they think their risks to political power are, rather than the risk to the balance sheet are. And that means that the rest of us are going to be bystanders as yet again the unions get their way.
And you think they'll get their way without a strike? Or might that be part of them getting their way?
We're living in a pandemic, so you're hoping that people aren't going to try and have a march of a million. But yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think it is uncharted territory for everyone, perhaps even the appetite of even union members to say, well, if the only way for us to get this done is for us to shut down the economy altogether. Look, we've become used to economic shutdowns and lockdowns, so I think the impact of them doing that would have been much more acute, much greater 2 or 3 years ago. But living through this particular pandemic where literally we are one press statement away from the government saying we had level 5 lockdown because of infection rates, for example, you get the impression that the impact of them going on a general strike probably won't be as great as I used to making it happen, and maybe the government will eventually find the courage to say, we'll wait it out until you guys run out of energy.
So maybe then the threat of their votes being withdrawn will be the key factor in the way this plays out.
Yeah, but I think the ANC has probably got a sense of comfort in that threat from COSATU in particular is not the type of threat that one takes seriously, because let's face it, if there's a general election tomorrow, there's absolutely no one within the union movement who can put together a political party overnight that then says, yes, are we challenging the ANC? And I suppose the question is, when they say they want to sit out the election and not support the ANC, are they then saying they want an alternative party to emerge, or are they simply saying that we're only doing it because we're pissed off, so it's a petulant stance rather than a political activism stance? We've never had to see it happen simply because the ANC always buys their way back into electoral power through obviously giving the unions whatever it is that they want. So not sure it's going to change this year.
Kaya Sitole, thanks very much as always for talking to us.